Free them all. Free them all. What's they called? Free them all. Free them all. KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Free Them All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th, at 7 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. Free 'Em All is an evening of music, dance, spoken word, and political remix, featuring David Rovex, international folk singer-songwriter, and emceed by KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m. at Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 13th annual Explorando on Saturday, June 14th at Whitaker Ponds Nature Park from 1 to 5 p.m. Explorando will feature live music, folkloric dances, guided canoe trips, hands-on environmental activities by rock climbing wall, and more! Explorando gives people the opportunity to learn about the importance of preserving the nature of the Columbia Slough. Again, that's Explorando, June 14th at Whitaker Ponds Nature Park from 1 to 5 p.m. More information can be found on kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 10th, 2014, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We've got headlines first before we speak to our guests this morning. We're going to be inviting Christina Williams on and others from a project coming out of PSU. It's a sustainable neighborhood initiative, and it could not have come along at a more appropriate moment, given the context in which we currently find ourselves. Once again, the urban growth boundaries are about to be assaulted. It's not good news. And if we expect to maintain the quality of life that we like to think that we have preserved so carefully for so long, we need to rethink this again. It's easy to be bamboozled by the powers that be and told that, well, this is really a good idea. Again, it's greenwashing, and a massive tsunami of greenwashing is coming our way. First, though, Eastmoreland Neighborhood Association has launched its anti-coal train drone. It's a project that particularly vigilant members are nicknamed Flying Monkeys, and as in the creation from The Wizard of Oz, of course, named for their ability to incite fear in the hearts of opponents. Well, a coal train drone is an excellent idea, and now is the time, if anybody else, any other group, is considering purchasing a drone in order to keep an eye on the watchers. Now would be a great time, because in all likelihood, this is yet another tool of the people's, which might very well be outlawed. Think hard about this and make the right move. In the Southeast neighborhood, where this is emerging from actually now has a flying drone on their team. The remote controlled, it's nearly 3 pounds. It's a flying camera purchased by the neighborhood president, Robert McCullough, for use in Eastmoreland's ongoing battle with Union Pacific. East Moreland and Selwood Moreland won a legal dispute nearly 60 years ago, limiting activities at the Brooklyn Rail Yard, which is exactly where these trains would be shooting through. It's a source of noise and diesel fumes in the adjoining southeast neighborhoods, and the addition of these trains is very bad news for everyone who lives there. Moving right along, Pocatello, Idaho. Think megaload. And what springs to mind? Environmental destruction? Yes. Economic justice? Injustice? Check. Climate change? Absolutely. But if you happen to be a wag, you might imagine the mega truck falling over and crushing those very carbon-emitting cars its very existence is in the service of. Well, wags, you won this round. A pull truck and push truck traveling about 20 miles per hour, mega load trucks, and just started from Pocatello plant when the 131-foot-long tube-like load fell over, crushing, four vehicles, and it destroyed four vehicles, and it dinged another. Happy was the dinged. The Sustainable Neighborhoods Initiative, the SNI, launched in 2013 by PSU Institute for Sustainable Solutions, is building long-term community-university partnerships. They've been doing that for a while, and it has pulled in and integrated a great many students, neighborhood people, citizens, and educators alike, creating learning opportunities that advance neighborhood sustainability goals. We're going to be speaking with a couple of people from this project in just a few minutes. And moving, though, we must through headlines because there's a whole lot of them. And last night, the Two Bulls fire down around Bend was 25% contained after burning 10 square miles, nearly 7,000 acres of brush and timber. About 50 houses northwest of Bend are still under an evacuation notice. And so far, it's cost $2.2 million to fight this fire. Maybe it's time we rethink how many people we have living on any given stretch of land. Can we really afford to destroy our own habitat? Moving along, the question, how bad were they? For starters, they were kicked out of their parents' militia for being, wait for it, too radical. And it goes downhill from there. The husband and wife who went on a deadly shooting rampage in Las Vegas harbored anti-government beliefs and left a swastika and a Don't Tread on Me flag on the body of one of the two police officers they killed. Gerard and Amanda Miller had been kicked out of a Nevada ranch where anti-government protesters faced down federal agents earlier this year. Well, okay, anti-government, this is what happens when populations burgeon and cause a certain form of madness Western civilization has really had to contend with. Contend, though, I guess that's what we're all doing since we had an incident right here in Troutdale at the Reynolds High School. It's an enormous sprawling campus. I went there this morning when this business started to happen, and it was indeed chaos. It's very hard to get in and out of the area. It's very large. It's surrounded by dead-end streets, and these dead-end streets were packed to the gills with every form of police agency, every kind of vehicle you've never seen before. It was out there today in full force. And let's see, Angelina Jolie might want to hurry on home and contend with the horrific rise of rape on American college campuses, as well as contend with rape as one more weapon of asymmetrical warfare. We have more headlines, but we've got Christina Williams on the line with us from the PSU. And we're also trying to get Jacob. He'll be on also in just a moment. They are going to talk a bit about this initiative, the Sustainable Neighborhoods Initiative, which could not possibly have come along at a better time. Just how much growth can a region sustain sustainably? And at what point does a habitat crash and burn, taking its flora and fauna along with it? We already are seeing subtle signs of cracks in the ecology. The seven-county Portland area, though, get this, might very well grow by up to 725,000 people, topping the 3 million population mark by 2035. By 2035, don't forget, by that time they probably will have decided to solve our congestion problems by building more and more roads and bridges, contributing to degradation, the quality of air, water, and soil. We'll have millions of people packed into a small area. I would hazard a guess that 725,000 number is conservative, to say the very least. It's likely to be far greater than that, because we can expect to see an surging influx of climate collapse refugees. If you think we have it bad out here, and we don't yet, wait till you see what happens when the rest of the country, when this middle section of the country has become a virtual desert. Desertification takes place very swiftly, too, once it starts, and it's virtually unstoppable. Ask the Bedouins. We have Christina Williams now on the line to join us to talk a little bit about sustainable neighborhoods. Right at the moment, we are talking about exactly how much growth can any given neighborhood, or for that matter, any region, how much growth can it sustain? Good morning, Christina. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, speaking of this, talking a bit about sustainability and the carrying capacity of any given region. How is it possible? We've talked a little bit about growth, and there's growth that is quantitative, in other words, more, or qualitative. And shifting to a qualitative growth paradigm is one way to maintain economies while at the same time reining in environmental destruction. What are the chances of maintaining sustainability and preserving the health of this bioregion, given that the region is expected to be inundated with more and more people?
Well, the reason that we are concentrating on the neighborhood scale is we feel like that's the right place to start in terms of making a sustainable city that can support this growth. So what we're looking at is going deep in a few neighborhoods in Portland to help, you know, the groups that are there measurably improve their sustainability goals. And then we'll have these solutions that we can apply in other neighborhoods. So we'll be looking at things like materials management, you know, energy efficiency, you know, resilience and equity, and making sure these neighborhoods are, you know, great places to live. You know, we need to contain the growth of, you know, the city. We want to keep it concentrated, but we also want to have livable neighborhoods that everyone can enjoy.
And how do you propose to go about doing this? Give us some of the ideas that you're launching.
So what we're doing is we're building on several decades of experience that the university has working with neighborhoods. We have classes that go into neighborhoods and work on different projects. We've done things like looking at land banking in Coley. We've had classes going to the Lloyd Eco District and looking at how can we better manage materials and waste coming out of the Lloyd Mall. So what we're doing with this initiative is concentrating that work in three particular neighborhoods. We're going to partner with them over 3 to 5 years. We'll lay out a set of projects that our partners in the neighborhoods want to see happen. And then we will match them with researchers and classes across the university to actually accomplish those goals.
So we're as we cruise slowly towards a deadline here, I have one more question for you, but before we start to wind up, I do want to get a website contact information so people in those neighborhoods and beyond, there are listeners who very likely would like to take this project and launch something similar in their own areas.
Well, they can visit pdx.edu/sustainability. That's our basic landing page, and you can find information about all of our programs, including Sustainable Neighborhoods Initiative.
Okay, before we've got just about 30 seconds left, the urban growth boundary. How does your project propose to contend with the possibility of this the urban growth boundary, which has seemed to serve us fairly well up to this point? But it is almost inevitable that something's going to happen, and fairly soon, and probably in secret. Is there any way to integrate your work with the urban growth boundaries?
Well, again, we're looking at the neighborhood scale and making neighborhoods more livable. I mean, these neighborhoods are going to have to become more dense to stay inside the urban growth boundary. And we've seen tensions in neighborhoods, rise up about that. And what our goals are with this project is to, help make equitable decisions about, livability for all of the neighborhoods.
Thank you so much for that. One last time before we let you go, the website again, if you can just let us hear that.
Sure, it's pdx.edu/sustainability.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Christina Williams with PSU on the Sustainable Neighborhoods Initiative. Thanks for that, Christina. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. Janet Anderson has engineered the show today for us. Thanks so much for that, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson's a KBOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening, and just stay tuned.
We have one update on a breaking story today. A suspect in a shooting at Reynolds High School in Troutdale is dead, and the situation there is stabilized. At a press conference this morning, officials said that one student at Reynolds was killed by the shooter early this morning. Shooting erupted at 8 a.m. this morning at the school as students were arriving. The school remains in lockdown. Now we go to flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, a bold attack by the Taliban on Pakistan's busiest international airport. We'll feature an interview with a columnist